it has been our intent and is our intent to encourage you that change is possible. Many of us, if you recall, have been led to believe that some people are born with it and some without it. That some people have inherited or been blessed with new abilities or more abilities than you or I. That's not true unless we choose to believe it. All the concepts that we have shared with you, all the information and tools that we have discussed, both in your personal growth kits and on the video, were intended to erase that belief and to give you confidence and hope that growth and change is possible and that you are in control if you utilize the tools that have been laid out before you. Too often when we go through a seminar, whether it be through a video seminar that you have participated in or in a live seminar, people then gain an intellectual understanding of the information. They say, oh yes, I've heard that. Yes, I know all about that. I've been through that. But the most important aspect is the application of the information. As I have alluded to in the past, that contemplation only of this information without any application or action is definitely being unjust to yourself. So the whole aspect of the New Age Thinking program was to encourage you to apply to your life the principles, the ideas, and the beliefs that will make you a much happier, more productive kind of person. One of the basic concepts and threads that ran completely through the program was that you and I will act in accordance, not with the truth, but the truth as we perceive it or believe it. That we behave, that we work, that we love, not in accordance with the reality of what we can do, but the reality of what we believe we can do. So we have talked in terms of, if we then can change the way we believe, we can change the way we act. We also have brought about the awareness that we build our own beliefs with our own thoughts. That we build our own beliefs through what we have referred to as our self-talk. The words, the language, the conversation, which triggers the pictures, which brings about the emotion. And that as these thoughts accumulate, they build patterns or beliefs. That we have not been victimized by the beliefs or the thoughts of others around us. That we have accepted or rejected the positive or the negative thoughts that others have shared with us. And that as we allow these thoughts to build up in our mind, we then act out that belief or that prophecy. Knowing this is true, we have tried to encourage you then that as you learn to control what you think about, as you learn to control the thoughts that are directed to you, the beliefs that are handed in your direction, that if you choose wisely the constructive thoughts, the positive thoughts, the loving thoughts, the creative thoughts, and accept those or give sanction to those thoughts, that then you build within you the loving, the constructive, the possibility kind of beliefs, the capable beliefs that I am good at this. And once I accumulate and build that belief within me, I then will automatically act as I believe. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what we're really saying is that as I change the way I thinketh, I change the way I iseth. You will find in the other tapes to follow the constant repetition of controlling self-talk, the self-talk and the self-esteem cycle that is so essential for your growth. You will be encouraged to make affirmations, to write them out, to use visualization, to imprint within you the growth changes that you choose to make. All of these tapes, I would encourage you to listen to, not all at one time, but listen to them as you drive in your car. Listen to these tapes and repeat the information while you work around the house. Listen to the information and the application of this information as often as you possibly can. Most people start off with this new information with great enthusiasm and hope. But somehow it seems to dwindle out. It dwindles, of course, because of their failure to apply what it is that they have been given. I implore you not to make the same mistake. You are too important. You are too valuable. There is too much that you can do for self and for family and for the nation and for your company to allow yourself to slip back into your old realities. It's going to take discipline on your part. But the kind of discipline we're talking about is the discipline of thought control. We know for a fact that we move toward and we do become like that which it is that we think about. We do also know that our present thoughts determine our future. So as we have talked in terms of people who allow themselves to be caught up around their friends, in their company, socially, in their families, to dwell on what it was that they have done, to gain satisfaction and emotional fulfillment out of dwelling on the past, both positively or negatively, that those kinds of people do create the gestalt that we have talked about. But it is a longing to go back and not forward. Don't allow yourself to get caught on dwelling on your mistakes, your shortcomings, your failures. Don't allow yourself to be caught up in your conversation with others talking about how good you were in the sixth grade, or how well things went for us last year or on the old job. That is a deadly trap for those of us who choose to grow. That if indeed our present thoughts determine our future, we, only if we choose to have our future look like our past, ought dwell on past thoughts. How soon do you let go? And then, of course, if this is so, that we do move towards what we think about, and we get caught up talking about the conditions of the life around us at the present, if we allow our friends to talk and complain about the way the situation is in the world, to complain about the mistreatment that's occurring to me at work, or the poverty that I see about me at the present time, or to talk about my problem of depression, or to talk about how overweight I might be, or I'm having trouble with my children, to be caught up even affirming the reality of the present situation that may be only mediocre, that all that will occur under my direction, accountability, and control is that which I am picturing and affirming presently. You watch your self-talk. many of the people in my own company and the people around me who do not see great progress, usually it occurs, if I would listen to them over and over, it occurs in their self-talk affirming their problem and not the solution. Review what I am saying constantly. It will have new meaning as time goes on. Now, in order for us to really reach our growth potential, both personally and collectively, we need to decide what we want things to look like. The perfection, the joy, the accomplishment. And then we need to write out in affirmation form so that we do not randomly, at chance, allow our thoughts to meander, but to deliberately discipline and control the projection of our imagery into creating the realities of tomorrow. So we want to surround ourselves with people who are not complainers. We want to surround ourselves with people who see options and possibilities. We want to surround ourselves with people who will be creative and to project for us the imagery of the way our families and the way our country and the way our company and the way I personally can be. And then to allow those thoughts to go through my mind in present tense form. That is to say, to talk in terms of though it actually is. One of the most crucial aspects I've found for myself and the people around me in growing is the belief in my tomorrow, my belief in the way things will be next month, next year for me, that belief that I talk about that has not occurred yet is as real to me as what I am doing presently. People will oftentimes say to me, as they will to you, well, I'm talking real things. I'm not talking future make-believe. But I would say the difference between myself and the people around me who I admire and see accomplishing, they believe that next year is as honest to God reality to them as the present today. It just hasn't transpired yet. So we will take a look and believe that I have the health, it just isn't there yet. That I have the income, it just hasn't arrived yet. That I have the joy and the completion of any goal, I only need work it out in the time, it isn't here yet. That the only difference between what is happening around me right now and what will occur to me next month, next year, and I live off what is called faith, is time. It just has not worked itself out yet. So my present reality and my future reality, there isn't much difference. The difference is only that it has not occurred. But how can I be so cocky? How can I be so confident? How can I be so sure? And I must answer this, because I know inside of me, I make things happen. You see, I work to internal change, or internally make the growth. I become the kind of person who can make things happen in my company, who can make things happen in my community. I feel I'm in control. I feel that I am so good at making things happen, then why ought I doubt about tomorrow? It just hasn't transpired, as I've said. I have self-esteem, confidence, belief in me. And yet I know there are qualities and characteristics in me that I lack in order to make things occur the way we choose to have things occur. But I also know that if I truly intend, I can change, I can grow, I will change, I will grow. I do change, I do grow. Something that screams through my mind, and has most recently, is the phrase, promises, 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 promises. Promises to myself. When I can rely on my own promises to self or to others, am I tough? I find I am as strong as my word is strong. And when I give my word to others that I will be here at a particular time, when I give to my word to others that I will call or that I will make this change or that you can count on me, and every time I let myself slip, I lose my strength. But it is not only my word to others, because I can make excuses there. It is the word that I give to myself. When I say I intend to grow, when I give myself my word to keep promises to myself, then I get the faith, the belief. I can count on me. And when I have that power and that feeling and that belief, there's not much that I cannot do. I just know I make things happen. Everything around me is possible. There is a definite need, if you choose to use these concepts, there will be a definite need for you to establish for yourself a philosophy of life, a style of life. Keep asking yourself the question, what is it in this world of mine that will make me a happy person? Why do I go to work? Why do I raise my family? Why do I want to do anything? And come to the realization that when I develop my style of life, then all of the questions about what I ought set goals for is easily answered. Then all of my goal setting, both externally, the material goods that I draw to me, and all of the people that I choose to draw to me, and all of the jobs and goals that I go after, are there to enhance my style of life. It is also absolutely essential that you develop what we call balance. The balance that we're speaking in terms of is both social, business, personal, spiritual, economic, health. And I cannot emphasize that too much. Because when you use these concepts, you must realize that what you're doing is deliberately throwing your system out of order. And as you do so with the imagery that you project yourself into, that you will be driven very strongly, almost obsessively, to its completion. Now, if you only use these concepts, say, to earn money, You will become obsessive about that, stealing times from friends and family and your spiritual growth and your health to complete that end. But knowing the style and knowing that you have a philosophy and you know what is going to make you happy, then you will set goals with equal proportional balance so that you will not then seek only one end and steal from others, but you will grow as a total person with strength. I also find that the size and the scope of the goals that I set or the people around me set, both personally or corporately, has a great deal to do with my self-esteem. So you must work continually to grow in self-esteem so that the size and the scope of your goals will increase proportionately. That when you have low self-esteem, and it's difficult to recognize, but when you have low self-esteem, you will see people around you who are impossibility thinkers. You see, you draw to you those kinds of people. You can judge your feeling of self-esteem by looking around you and seeing the kind of clients that you deal with. It is in direct proportion. You go after those with whom you feel worthy of serving. You take a look at the material goods that you draw to you, and you would find that you are drawing to you that which you feel you are worthy of receiving. The quality of education, the quality of transportation, the total quality and quantity of your life is determined by your feeling of self-worth and esteem. So as you continually work towards building your self-esteem, and how? By thinking constructive, loving thoughts about self, by eliminating the sarcasm, the destructive, demeaning thoughts that might go through your mind, by eliminating the sanction that you may give to another who evaluates your capabilities. In other words, by controlling your self-talk again, to be constructive and positive and to put great big positive weights on your own attitudinal balance scale and not wait for others to do so. You must know your good, you must learn to wear it well, and of course then you can share your goodness and your greatness with all mankind. And one of the biggest traps that I think also that you would run into is that of pushing yourself into success. That when you find things not occurring quickly enough for you, you have a tendency to discipline yourself and tell yourself, well, I have to make myself do it. And you'll find yourself pushing self into losing the weight or into the new income level or pushing yourself into whatever it is that you feel that you want. That very push is a subconscious working against the end or the goal that you want. Remember that any time you tell yourself you have to do something, it is the job of your subconscious to say, you don't have to, I'll get you out of it. And to work with both creative avoidance, procrastination, or in any way possible to get you out of, I have to, but if I had my way, I would rather be doing something else. So your subconscious works to help you do the something else. So don't try too hard. the harder you try, the more you work against the natural subconscious creative mechanism. You must learn to flow. You must learn to cooperate with ease. And I know at first it's scary to let go of that conscious, deliberate control that we've been so used to using, but that totally will interfere with your high performance. You again must have faith, you must have confidence, you must have belief that your subconscious is a servo mechanism and is in fact one of the best servants you have ever had. And that your subconscious will move you toward and bring about that which it has been programmed by the conscious level to bring about. So the only effort that you consciously want to expend into yourself will be the deliberate, conscious projection of the kind of pictures that you choose to have controlling your automatic, free-flowing, subconscious behavior. I would encourage you to go back over your workbook. I would encourage you to discuss with the people that you have gone through with. I would encourage you to take little tiny steps to start out with, to practice this information, to work to improve not the greatest thing in you that you always wanted to change, but to work on some very small things to start with. And as you gain the confidence in the ability to utilize these techniques and these tools, then take on a bigger challenge. Then take on bigger goals. But for the next few weeks, promise yourself to put deliberate effort, deliberate intent into these principles and concepts and tools. And with repetition and repetition, you will get better and better as each week, as each month goes on. And I know, having seen many movies and watched many TV programs and gone through many classes, at the conclusion, it seems as though it's over. It has been my intent with this program not to have it be over at the conclusion of the film, but to encourage and implore you that it has just begun. You will see the results in the growth and the changes within self in direct proportion to the effort that you use in applying the techniques and the concepts. There is nothing wrong with the information. Do not fix the blame on the concepts. The blame, if there is to be any, the fault, if there is to be any, is in your faulty or lazy application. Be sure to manage and change yourself first, before you attempt to rush out and change the world. In conclusion, I would say, you absolutely, no doubt about it, can be exactly what it is that you believe that you can be. Your challenge will be to get yourself to believe that you can be.
This concludes this session.
I want to start off by emphasizing to all of you that the next one, two, or three sessions that you will be going through is the most important session of all of our curriculum that we teach. Now, I emphasize that because you may not take enough at the present time, you may not take enough value in it. So rather than mess around and later on have you discover it, it's essential right now that, from my point of view, of all the things that we might share with you, the next tools are the most important, because I'm going to show you why imagery works, and I'm going to give you some tools for controlling the changes that you choose to make. Now, in the next few sessions, what we're concerned with here is inside of us changes, the habits, the attitudes, the characteristics, improving in any area where we think we have potential. How do I improve as a person and control, deliberately control, my improvement? Later on in the series, we're going to show you how to use the same kinds of tools to make changes outside of us in the environment. How do I build buildings, and how do I get my grapes? How do I get the car, and how do I increase profit, and all those kinds of things, see? But we're not so concerned about things outside of us. But we're very concerned now with getting ourselves, if you recall, in shape to do what it is that we choose to do with our families, to do what we can for our communities, to do what we can for our companies, and, of course, to do what we can for ourselves. So what we must do is back up a little bit now and take a better look at why and how we can direct growth change. And if you go back with me, and just for a moment, let's review that over the years, through our perception of what was happening around us, through sight, taste, touch, smell, feel, we have been gathering information about the world. But the information that we have been gathering, if you remember, really wasn't the truth. The information that we were gathering necessarily was our version of the truth. Remember that the information that we pick up through our sense of sight is only light. And the light that I pick up, I then personally tell myself what I think I'm perceiving. I tell myself what I think I am seeing. So I'm recording my version. And if you recall earlier also, we talked about the formula I times V equals R on the subconscious level. That imagination
time's vividness becomes reality to me on the subconscious level. So consciously, we know the difference between what is happening in this room and what I may be vividly imagining in my mind someplace. But subconsciously, we record it as actual. Our subconscious doesn't distinguish between whether I am imagining what is happening, it records whether I am in actuality experiencing it, or whether I am imagining the experience. Consciously, we know the difference. Subconsciously, we record light reflecting off of bodies in our thoughts about what we are perceiving. And we even record, remember, how we feel about it. Now, feeling, you will see, will be very important in our change. So if this is so, if we have built our opinions, our beliefs, our expectation levels on vivid imagined experiences, okay, then we can make and alter changes if we learn how to use and control imagery and visualization. So all of that information that we have been perceiving, remember now, we've said, we are storing that information on the subconscious level. That information becomes our opinion, our belief, which we refer to as our self-image. It's the truth as best as I know it at the present time. It is my currently dominant image of reality. Currently dominant image of reality. Now, important for us to understand here, then, is that not just any kind of imagery changes this subconscious image of reality. Not just any kind of imagery will alter this subconscious self-image. If just any kind of imagery would, then if we were watching television and observe a movie star, or observe a great athlete, or observe whatever is happening. If it were just any kind of imagery, then why aren't people just crawling out of the ghettos? Why aren't we just seeing all kinds of miraculous change if just imagery does it? Now, the important factor here is if we intend to make growth changes, the only kind of imagery that will alter your subconscious image of reality is what we refer to as experiential imagery. You must clearly identify with the imagery. See, if I observe somebody else doing it, well, that's what they're doing. That's what they have. I see the other person into the job. I see the other person with a nice family. I see somebody else being very warm and loving. I must personally experience it in my mind as though I am that person. I must see myself in that leadership role. I must see myself warm and at ease at that social setting. I must see myself and not you in it. Now, the person is, well, I can't see myself living like that. I can't see myself skiing like that. I can't see myself playing tennis like that. Well, I can't see myself in an income like that. I can't see myself with a family like that. I can't see myself in a responsible position like that. Then you won't. See, when you visualize others into it, it will not alter your subconscious image of reality. It only creates envy. It only creates envy. And could that be perhaps why we had tremendous riots in the 60s? Where people observing what others had, it created envy and didn't really make the change on the inside. And we go out then and we break windows and we take what you have. I want your car. I deserve it. You don't deserve having that good job. Give it to me. But there's a difference, see. We can alter our subconscious image of reality if we can write out an internal goal and cause the proper imagery to take place where I can see myself poised and calm when I give a talk. If I can see myself a dynamic, strong leader. If I can see myself a warm, easygoing hostess or host. If I can see myself a very fine, skilled athlete, if I can see myself playing in concert, if I could see myself negotiating properly, if I can visualize myself being an excellent, smooth, easy, free-flowing speaker, then I can make the change. But if I see you doing it, it will not make one difference as far as my inside change is concerned. Now, all meaningful and lasting change starts first on the inside and then works its way out. It must start first in our imagination. Two very key words here. Meaningful and lasting change. We can get temporary change, but we're after meaningful and lasting change. So in order to get meaningful and lasting change, we must create the kind of imagery, the perception, we must create the kind of imagery that will be personal, positive, and present tense. Personal, positive, and present tense experiential imagery. I, in personal, must see myself actually doing it. And as we get into it in later depth, positive, I want to see the change that I choose to make. Not the way I am presently, but I want to see the way I want to grow, the characteristics, the qualities, and the skills, the attitudes, the habits that I choose to have. I will visualize then in the present tense as though I already have them. Now, with the technique of imagery that we are proposing, that you use, you have always used it to become what you are. I'm only now encouraging you to control it. So we're going to learn to write out an affirmation. An affirmation is a trigger tool. You will deliberately decide the kind of habits, the kind of characteristics, the kinds of qualities, and the kinds of skills that you choose to have. You will write out an affirmation, which will be words, that will trigger the proper picture, which will bring about the right emotion, that will make a take in the neuron structure of the cell of your brain. Just as though you went through it one time. We can manufacture imagery that will duplicate for our subconscious just as though we are the person that we intend to be. We can learn to practice that habit, that attitude, that experience in our mind. We no longer need to be going through the reality of an experience. We can, once we know what we want to be, imagine ourselves into it properly, experientially, and it takes in our subconscious neuron structure as though we were actually there. Now, like any habit or belief, remember it took repetition and repetition and repetition and repetition. One visualization will not alter a characteristic necessarily, or a habit. It will not alter a belief structure. Remember, thoughts accumulate to build a pattern. One thought does not need to. So the reason you are going to write out your affirmations in areas where you choose to grow corporately, where you choose to grow personally or athletically, where you choose to be socially more at ease or open, is to deliberately control it so you do not leave it to chance. You are going to predetermine the outcome, and as we write it out properly in techniques that you will see later, you will then learn a technique of imprinting where you will visualize it 10 seconds or so before you fall asleep at night, and then 10 seconds upon awakening in the morning. And then you will repeat this pattern for from 2 to 4 to 5 weeks. And as you repeat deliberately the quality or the change in characteristic or habit that you want, each time you do it, you are recording it as if you actually experienced that activity. And as you do it over and over and over and over with repetitive involvement, you are altering and changing subconsciously the way you see you. Now, once we get this picture changed, it then becomes the job of the creative subconscious process to make sure that the two match, remember. To make sure that the two match. The job of the creative subconscious is always, if you remember one of the first steps we talked about, to maintain what we referred to as sanity, or what we call reality. So it's the job of this creative subconscious process to make sure that I always act like the person I see myself to be. I cannot consistently act otherwise. The challenge will be to change as I see myself to be. Higher productivity level, at a different quality of behaving, closer to my true potential, being able to express more warmth or love, or to visualize myself at a different weight. You see, once I visualize myself at the new weight and alter my picture, my creative subconscious process will automatically, effortlessly, free-flowingly keep me at that weight. Once I alter in my mind the warmth and the love and the control of my temper, once I change the picture, I no longer need to try hard to be that person. I will just automatically act and behave like the person I visualized myself to be. But I have deliberately decided how I want to be. Up to this point, most of us have just naturally allowed it to happen. We didn't deliberately decide that I could be more loving, and then set out deliberately to make the change. What we have done in the past is, when we wanted to make a change from a smoker to a non-smoker, from being frightened about something to being outgoing and relaxed, what we've done is just deliberately jump right into it and have tried hard to be different than our picture. And it is that trying hard that causes our head to pound, our voice to change, and our body to get up tight, and our stomach to secrete more digestive juice. You see, when we're out of our comfort zone, away from our picture, all that tension occurs in our system. So never outrun your picture. Change your picture and allow yourself to naturally, effortlessly, free-flowingly behave like you. What we do when we work with young people, like at the University of Texas football team, is we would deliberately start out way before the season started, and we would teach them about these techniques. And then what you would do is you would say, now, what kind of automatic response do you want in your skill level, in your attitude, in your enthusiasm, in your strength? What kind of habits and attitudes and skills do you want on the level of performance that is necessary to reach the goal you want? And then they write out affirmations and they visualize themselves with that kind of poise, that kind of aggressiveness, that kind of fluidness and smoothness, that performance standard, and they keep visualizing that characteristic or quality in there. Now, why I'm saying that is this. When it comes time to play a fierce competitor like an Oklahoma or an Arkansas or a Houston, you then never tell them to get up for the game. We want you up for this game, because any time you tell a person then we want you up for this, we are really saying, you are really not that good. Will you please play over your head? Will you please try hard to be better than I see you, than you really are? So we have deliberately decided how good it would necessarily take us to be there. And then we deliberately visualize our qualities and characteristics so that we are that good. Now, when you come in against opponent, you know what those coaches tell those kids before a game? Just go out and be you. That's good enough. Just don't be less than you. You see, we've already decided what you ought to be like. And that will be true socially for you. That will be true as far as raising your children. That will be true as far as the way you choose to react in any situation. We will then deliberately decide ahead how we choose to be and visualize ourselves into it. Once we've altered the picture, then we no longer need to get up for anything. We are up. Our energy level, our enthusiasm level, our creative level, we are up. It is like us to be like this because we have deliberately decided and we have deliberately used imagery to become the kind of person, the quality of person that we choose to be. Now, in summary, let me show you what I'm speaking of here. If we had a boat, let's say, out on the water, out on a lake or out on the ocean, and that boat has a steering wheel to it, and the boat also has an automatic pilot system, what we could do if we were fishing back here in the boat, we could set the automatic pilot system so the boat would go, let's say, in a northerly direction, about 2 or 3 knots. And we're sitting in the back of the boat fishing, but we're not catching any fish. Ah, so we decide, let's make a change in the direction that we are heading. We could then walk up to the boat, to the front, to the steering wheel, grab hold of the steering wheel, and we could change the direction in which we are heading so that the boat now would go over here in an easterly direction where we think we can catch more fish. We want to change the direction in which we are heading. But what you've done is to grab hold of the steering wheel and to override the automatic pilot system. See? And now what happens is, once we get our change that we have desired over here in the east, we let go of the steering wheel and we decide we want to go back and fish. And what happens? It's obvious, isn't it? When we let go of the steering wheel, the boat will return to a northerly direction. The automatic pilot system takes over again and returns us back to the original compass heading. Now, we could have changed the direction of the boat without ever touching the steering wheel. How? How? Right. Change the automatic pilot system, and your boat then will gradually adjust to its new compass heading. What I'm saying to us right here, right now, our self-image is our automatic pilot system. We know how we're supposed to behave, how we're supposed to respond. And we automatically, every day, effortlessly, free-flowingly move, act, blow up, cry, drive, do, earn, about the way our automatic pilot system has been programmed. Oh, about New Year's, though, we decide we want to make a change in the direction. So we get a hold of our behavior, which is like grabbing the steering wheel, and we crank ourselves in the direction of being a non-smoker. We crank ourselves in the direction of being an improved person. And as long as we're holding consciously onto the steering wheel, we're all right. But the moment we forget to exert conscious effort and let go of our behavior and relax, what do? We return right back to our old habit. We return right back to our old characteristic. We return right back to smoking. We return right back to our old weight. You see, many of us consciously go on diets, and we drive ourselves away from our picture. That's grabbing hold of the steering wheel. Our automatic pilot system, though, is still set maybe 20 pounds heavier. And the moment we let go of the steering wheel, what do, Connie? Just, Cheryl, we go right back to our old picture. So, and by the way, I ought to say, while we've got hold of the steering wheel, there is tremendous stress and tension on our system, see? We're holding ourselves away from our subconscious picture, out of our comfort zone. And the moment we let go, we return to the dominant picture, the controlling mechanism. So, what I'm proposing that you do, very simply, is you use the tools of affirmations and imagery to reset the automatic pilot system. Once you set the automatic pilot system and change the picture, you no longer need to grab the steering wheel. In fact, grabbing the steering wheel will get in the way. It's that simple. That's what imagery does for you. That's what the tool of visualization and affirmations can do for you. You will visualize yourself, for instance, as a non-smoker, and you will learn to do that over and over and over until we alter the subconscious picture. And once we've changed the picture, we will no longer consciously need to remember not to smoke. And I want to tell you this, by the way, while you are visualizing yourself as the new person, you go right on behaving like the old. Don't you try hard to be a non-smoker. Don't try hard to be pleasant. Don't try hard to be loving. Change the picture and then just go ahead daily and act like your old self. Just keep acting like you. Just keep acting like you. Remember when my son said, "Dad, you never show you love us?" And I said, well, you know, I could have just right away grabbed the steering wheel, ran out and said, "All right, the next time he comes in the room, come here, there, I love you, and I'll get out of here, see?" And I'd be totally out of my comfort zone. I would have hold of the steering wheel. But instead of that, I would write out an affirmation. "It's as easy for me to show warmth and love to my son as it is to my daughters." And then I would visualize myself doing that. I would see my son coming into the room, my arms going around him. And I would feel the warmth and love flowing from me to him. And it was as good as if I was actually doing it. But only one time. And I would need to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. But you see, he was never there in reality. I would do it by myself with nobody around. Doesn't it sound funny when you need to practice showing love to your children? But you see, where you have potential that you're not using, trying hard is not the answer. What you need to do is to change the regulating mechanism that is in a garbage in classification for you right now. You change that with imagery. And as you visualize yourself in front of the group, warm and outgoing and at ease, you never get up in front of the group until you change the picture in here. So what we're talking about is this. Never outrun your picture. It will only make you uptight. That is definitely old age thinking. New age thinking is change the picture on the inside and let your actions and behavior catch up to your picture. In the next session, we're going to show you how the step-by-step procedure for writing the affirmation trigger tool.
This concludes this session.